Good evening. This is Mae Brussel. The title of this broadcast is World Watchers. If you're not familiar with the program and just happen to be turning it on coincidentally, this is 1 hour of news of political assassinations and investigations of government conspiracies. If you want to get a bibliography for the source of material for this broadcast or any other broadcast you've heard before or in the future, write to me, Mae, M-A-E, Brussel, like Brussels sprouts, B-R-U-S-S-E-L-L, P.O. Box 22511, Carmel, California, 93923. As the hour develops, I escalate the speed because there's so much I want to get on the program, so I'll give you that information now, and we'll have that behind us. This is broadcast number 718, September the 9th, 1985. Before I get into the bulk of the material this evening, I want to share the name of another researcher who has material available for you, printed material mostly, and some cassettes, similar to David Emery's research up north. His name is John Judge, and we've been friends for about 14 years. We share information, as I do with other people, but he particularly has a lot of material he'll share with you. And write to him, send a self-addressed stamped envelope, P.O. Box 6586, and then capital letter T, Washington, D.C., 20009. He has an essay, an article that he wrote on the connection of the Russian Revolution and the fascist network that formed in Europe, Western Europe then, to the Cold War, to the CIA and the Kennedy assassination. He charges $3, but I won't give you the price of all of this. Just send for the mailing list to that address, and if I said it too fast, you can telephone or write to me for it. He has articles on, he's copied articles that were written by other people, one from Springfield Magazine on Otto Skorzeny at Dachau Prison, and that has to do with the relationship to Klaus Barbie. He has some tape cassettes on the assassinations. He's reprinted Mysterious Deaths and the Kennedy Assassination that came out, Penn Jones wrote for The Rebel. And my articles he has reprinted, he makes them available for you, the Korean Airline and the Nazi connections to the Kennedy Assassination. In addition to being knowledgeable to all of those things, he's particularly knowledgeable onto the Jonestown genocide mind control CIA operations. And he has a lot of literature on Jonestown, the CIA, another report on the Jonestown banks, and Jimmy Jones from the Akwesane Notes, and psychiatry, Nazi psychiatry, as taken from Germany and then into the United States. He reprints Lenny Lapin's article on the psychiatric final solution and so forth. He covers a wide range of material having to do with political assassinations, mind control, and genocide, racist genocide. So write John Judge. He's the judge. J-U-D-J-U-D-J-G-E. That's the way it goes. P.O. Box 6586, capital letter T, Washington, D.C., 20009. A lot of you new listeners or old listeners or some that have been listening to World Watchers on and off or intermittently sometimes wonder if Mae Brussel is carrying such a burden alone and give the impression that I'm the only one doing some of these things, and I'm only one you hear because you're not in the range of these other people. But there are, in fact, very fine, dedicated investigators. The series that Nip Tuck and David Emery are doing up north, I gave you that address. And I'll repeat on the air from time to time, or you can call me and develop your own library and your own printed fact sheets on these various interlocking relationships, because I get a lot of material from them. I'm not the one who finds it all. I learn from them, and they learn from me. So write to John Judge and take care of that. Now, Los Angeles Herald had an update on the Joseph Mengele story, which I will be doing continuously with you because I don't think Mengele is dead. This is September the 4th, 1985, L.A. Herald. United States requests another look at the Mengele skull. São Paulo, Brazil. The U.S. Justice Department has asked for further microscopic examinations of a skull identified as being Joseph Mengele. They wrote to São Paulo Federal Police. They are asking for further examinations, and out of São Paulo, Romeo Tuma, police chief, who was part of the death squads and the terror squads in the dictatorship years, which haven't really ended in Brazil yet. He said, this no way represents any doubt to the identification of the remains. They're definitely Mengele. But the people that did the identification, one of them, Mr. Dr. Hameli, said, please save the skull, and if anything changes, if you find anything that changes the story, then I'll change my mind. And he said, as of this date, this is Mengele. But he said, for goodness sakes, don't get rid of the skull. Now, they may take the skull and photograph it and make other x-rays that positively identify to what they have of another head they're calling Mengele. But at this point, they want another look at the skull. Now, there's a small newspaper. It's sort of like the Examiner or the Star, I suppose, a national newspaper called The Sun. And a subscriber to World Watchers sent me the copy September the 3rd, 1985, that you might have seen. And it's titled, Nazis in Brazil, Plot to Destroy America. Now, I've done 21 years of research, and I've read the books of the Nazis early in the 20s and 30s and 40s on how they would take America, and even speeches of Adolf Hitler on how he would take America. But I yet don't know that people writing, I don't see it, that we are a conquered nation, or take that hypothesis that I have, that we are, in fact, taken over, and that the Nazis want to conquer us, to destroy us, which is why I think we're having so many problems today and in the past, and I've expressed those week after week. This article sounds like the outline of a Mae Brussel description of World Watchers. This is the way it goes. A secret Nazi organization has laid master plans to destroy the United States as a 100th birthday present for Adolf Hitler. I may correct and interject like I do when I read many of these stories. It's not so secret. I have about 1,000 books on the Nazis, and I'd have 3,000 if I could afford them. And the Odessa organization that they're talking about is throughout the books, and why people have been so placid until now or until tomorrow or as it happens, I really don't understand. But it's not a secret organization. It's a very well-known organization headed by the late Otto Skorzeny, who worked for the CIA and was under Henry Kissinger after the war. The article goes on, the conspiracy includes mass assassinations. Yes, we're having those. The mass assassinations of public officials. Bombing major buildings and factories. Yes, we're getting our fires and bombs. And hostage taking on an unprecedented scale. This is what the top intelligence sources have agreed. Now, I believe that this last TWA and even the Iranian hostage crisis, as I put it together, were manufactured and created for political purposes, and they will increase. The article goes on, the organization known as the Odessa is determined to make 1989 the centenary of Hitler's birth a celebration of horror, according to his top secret analysis. The Aryan nations made a promise or a vow in this United States. As of May the 1st, they would start turning this country into another Vietnam, burn it down, and make it a hellhole. And they are directly linked to the Nazis in South America. So what they say they would do and what these people say they want to do aren't a bit apart. Then the article goes on. The Odessa began as a network that helped tens of thousands of German war criminals escape to South America at the end of World War II. Now Odessa is back in business, masterminded from Brazil, a country notorious for harboring Nazi criminals, including Dr. Joseph Mengele. Sources say Odessa was reborn during a Hitler's birthday weekend attended by hundreds of aging Nazis and their younger recruits from 1978. Now, the important thing about this is that they weren't aging, and some of them were very young. They were working for Adolf Hitler very early, and they're not very, very old. They are hosting the reunion in the Brazilian village of Itatiaia, I-T-A-T-I-A-I-A, in the Hotel Tyll, T-Y-L-L, a resort where the wall decorations are swastikas, tipped with eagle's heads, screaming eagle's heads. It was then and there the Odessa regrouped and dedicated itself to mass destruction. Now, I don't think they dedicated themselves at that hotel or that birthday party. The reason they were able to have these annual birthday parties for Adolf Hitler was because they had planned all this very carefully after the war, and it was synchronized with keeping the Nazi Party alive, the Hitler Youth, and so forth. So this wasn't thought up in Brazil. When the Vatican and the Red Cross and the Counterintelligence Corps of our United States, the OSS, were working with the Nazis and letting them leave Europe, it was for the purpose of rebuilding it, and those members of the Odessa, even openly identified, were incorporated into the United States intelligence system. I agree that there was this birthday party, and I agree that this is when they made their vows, maybe, but this wasn't where the idea got on for Adolf when he's 100, let's do this thing. That was planned going in 1943 when they couldn't win the war against the Soviet Union. The article goes on, the timing of the assault at this particular time gave the Odessa 12 years to recruit new fanatics, to plant bombs, to stockpile weapons, and choose targets. Do you think any bombs are a whole rash of aeroplanes that have gone down the last 2 weeks where everyone saw an explosion or indication of explosion and no one can come to an answer anywhere across from England to Japan, the United States, Wisconsin, Dallas, Texas, Samantha Smith, all of these planes seem to have a bomb, just as the Korean airline with Larry McDonald seemed to have a bomb that blew it up, and this is what they said they would do. The article says, we know from our contacts these are not doddering war veterans. They are masters of German dedication organizations with millions in stolen gold bullion at their disposal and bankroll. Well, they not only had the millions, but they had diamonds and stocks and many, many millions going almost into a billion of cash and gold that they could parlay into narcotics traffic and quadruple the money within each year, practically, with the scale of the narcotics traffic. This article concludes, they have never forgiven the United States for spearheading the 1945 downfall of the Third Reich and have indoctrinated recruits worldwide to their cause. Now, they may never have forgiven the United States, but that's not really true, because the top Nazis, except for a handful that were hung at Nuremberg as a token, were put together after the war. Hermann Abs, Otto Ambrose, Abs working at the Vatican now, Hallmar Schacht, who went right down to the floating ship of Aristotle Onassis, and Skorzeny coming into the United States intelligence and working in Madrid, and Hans Ulrich Rudel, the head of the Luftwaffe, weaving in and out of Germany and setting up his new recruits. And they were working with Alan Dulles, SS Karl Wolff, Heinrich Himmler, Adolf Hitler, the whole gang. They were mad that they couldn't take the Soviet Union, and they may have been mad that we didn't join them in fighting the Soviet Union. But the goal of Adolf Hitler was to take America long before. They may be mad they lost the war, but they always planned to conquer us. That was part of Hitler's plans, and he said, if you take South America, then it's easy to take America. Take South America first. Now, the party they're talking about, I've referred to over and again. That's why this article is of particular interest, even though it came from this source. And I mentioned just a few weeks ago from the Documentation Center of Simon Wiesenthal how he wrote in 1981 about Gustav Franz Wagner, W-A-G-N-E-R. Now, it was at Wagner's party. He is allegedly with Hitler at that party in 1978, and that's what caused Wagner to hide, and Romeo Tuma, the chief of police, the defense police in San Paulo, refused to extradite him. Simon Wiesenthal had said in his newsletter, and I just cited this 3 weeks ago, that after a search of more than 10 years, Gustav Franz Wagner was discovered in 1978 by the Documentation Center in Brazil and arrested by the local police. He was discovered when newspaper people took their pictures at the party for Adolf Hitler, threw his hands over his face, went to the police, and this is the same Romeo Tuma, the police chief, who would not extradite Wagner to four countries that wanted him, and yet, Simon Wiesenthal said, one day after the bones were dug up of Joseph Mengele, I'm more convinced it was him. Before there was a shred of evidence, he went with the very police chief who had kept Wagner in San Paulo, Brazil. And Wiesenthal writes about how he managed to get governments from four different countries to ask for his extraditions. this is the documentation center of Simon Wiesenthal. Well, you may ask four countries to send Wagner home. He ran the concentration camp at Treblinka, where allegedly hundreds of thousands of Jews were killed. And he also worked at Sobibor. There were two concentration camps he worked at. And he may have pressed the countries, bring him back. But what happened was, in Brazil, they changed the papers of the day he got in Brazil, and the 1947 date that he got in there, that he was supposed to have arrived there, was changed to 1974, and this let Wagner get free. So the papers were forged in Brazil. Wiesenthal says, I found him. He didn't find him. He couldn't get him back to trial, and yet he works with the same policeman. And then he said Wagner commits suicide by stabbing himself with a knife October the 4th, 1980. So the case is closed. Well, Wiesenthal closes cases easily. We don't know if Wagner cut his throat. I'll bet you Simon Wiesenthal wasn't down there to see the body or fingerprint the body. But this is the story of the 1978 experience in Brazil. And it's interesting that this was written up as a birthday party for Hitler, because that's what I was told by people who were in Brazil at the time, saw the headlines and said it was common knowledge that they were all down there, including Adolf, and I'll update more of that. I've talked about that from time to time. Now, the San Francisco Chronicle and our Monterey Herald this morning had a story, September the 9th, 1985, 11 neo-Nazis go on trial. The neos are the ones that didn't fight in World War II, but they have joined to South America and to Germany, the same Nazis that want to take America over. And the gist of the article was 11 neo-Nazis who allegedly won on a year-long orgy of robbery, counterfeiting, arson, and killing, including the Denver talk show host Alan Berg, go on trial in the U.S. District Court today. They're charged, among other things, with a pattern of racketeering, a plan to overthrow the United States government, and to rid America of blacks and Jews. Now, I don't know what the crime is for overthrowing the United States government, but this morning's news, when I wake up, I usually turn on one or two of the different stations, flick it around, and I believe it was CBS has been advertising a series they're having this week, one each day, on the talk show hosts and their personalities, and Dick Cavett and the Hatfield Donahue and so forth, and the promo. The person talking about the show was asking several of the others, why do talk show hosts burn out people like Alan Berg? Now, imagine CBS in 1985, the same day that the men who killed Alan Berg are going on trial. They're saying he burned out. He was gunned down with about 22 bullets in his garage when he got home from the radio station. And they call that a burnout, like he wasn't popular anymore, or the show ran out of steam. The man was gunned down by the Aryan Nations, and the major networks continue these lies and brainwashing, not making any connection that a talk show host was gunned down. And part of the prominence of Berg to make him look crazy was that segment on 60 Minutes where they showed him looking really mentally sick, and I'm sure he had much more talent than that, was much more political than that, and they made him look so silly that when he died, he looked crazy, responsible for his own death. And while men are being charged for his murder, our major network, they're trying to tell you he burned out. Now, this was part of a plan to overthrow America. Another article on this trial refers to the men who are in the organization known as the Order. Now, that is an international group. That isn't just a group in Seattle. The Order have done these bank robberies. They've done two murders they're being charged with, and they haven't yet decided who of the gang killed Alan Berg. The gun that killed him was found in the home of Gary Lee Yarborough, but they haven't yet decided which of the whole group killed him, but they know that among them there were people who killed him. And they said they may be sent to prison for up to 40 years. That means 3 months to 40 years for trying to overthrow America and kill every Jew and black in America. This past weekend, there was a Brinks heist in Providence, Rhode Island. The Aryan Nation, the Order, can make $1 million a month. All they have to do is keep robbing banks. And as they said in the newspaper accounts, this was an inside job. And many of the Brinks officials have worked their way up there and are members of the Aryan Nations of the Order, and that is the way they keep themselves going. Now, several weeks ago, I cited an article. This one is from the Monterey Herald. FBI official says Klan influence is waning. And again, these are the people coming up to face this trial, the group from the Aryan Nations, the Posse Comitatus, the Order, the Covenant of the Sword, the Arm of the Lord. They are, as the FBI says, highly trained, willing to die, and they are taking over from the Klan and what they call the right-wing terrorists, the ragtag group that weren't so cohesive. Now they have computers, they're very cohesive, and they are the Klan, and they are the Nazi, and they are the Order, and they're all one. And to pass them off as being a little more than the Klan, that now we have them, is putting lightly that they are the same and had the same goals and as the Nazi Party and the Klan, but they're more sophisticated now. Now, the Los Angeles Times had a story not too long ago, it was August the 11th, titled Neo-Nazis Enact a Not-So-Comic Opera. It's a dumb title written by Paul Montgomery, but it comes from Brussels in Europe, and it's a very important article, and it's part one of a series I want to do for you, but not all in one evening, so connect what I'm going to do now, and we'll refer to it later in the future. The article was written in Brussels, and this is what it's about. The author describes one Sunday afternoon in Belgium, not long ago, where members of the Nazi groups of Western Europe have their annual conclave. Several hundred people were wearing military gear, black hiking shorts, thick black boots, scarves and insignia, and shoulder patches from West Germany, Holland, Belgium, and Sweden to identify themselves. West Germany, Italy, Holland, Belgium, and Sweden. Some cut their hair to the scalps, like the motorcycle gang. Some are uniformed parents. Some have children dressed in uniforms. They have literature tables that you help yourself to read, and they're reprinted in half a dozen languages. The Friends of South Africa is one group. The Order of the Eternal Return is another. The Young National Democrats is another. The Mystery of the Dunes is another. The Anti-Immigrant Coalition, the Eastern Europeans and so forth, the Anti-Russian, the Immigrants, Anti-Immigrant Coalition is another. One of the books they sell there for them to read is titled, Is Hitler Really Dead? I haven't read the book. I don't know if it's a figure of speech, but people that live in Brazil and Argentina who are familiar with the country and the terrain, and I've talked to people from both countries who were there in the 50s and 60s, and they discussed the fact that he was alive. But if it's just in spirit, you can choose what you want to believe. I happen to believe he wasn't dead. They also have books called Jewish Crimes Through the Centuries. They display their clubs, their chains, their knives, their bayonets. And at the last convention, the police arrested 49 men out of the group, probably took them away like the three tramps at Dealey Plaza, were arrested in Dallas, and then there was no name or record, and as soon as they're carted away, they're released. Goodness knows what they do with them. One of the groups is the National Front of Great Britain. Those are the men that were involved with the soccer team and the murders that took place in Belgium. The National Front of Great Britain, and half of the people arrested among this group in Belgium were from that group. The chairman of the Liverpool Soccer Club and the National Front supporters were kept out of this meeting this year, even though they're active as part of the organization, because they had caused 38 deaths in Belgium at the soccer game. The game that Henry Kissinger attended as a member of the National Soccer Board with Mr. Agnelli from Italy. The article continues, many members or former members of the neo-Nazi groups represented at the various recent meetings are implicated in murders, in bombings, in bank robberies, in arms trafficking, in dope running, and in other crimes. You have a wide range here. We're talking about people from West Germany, Italy, Holland, Belgium, and Sweden, and there are a lot of Nazis in France. They haven't mentioned them in this article from Brussels, but the Le Pen, Mr. Le Pen, the candidate to replace Mr. Mitterrand, is a known Nazi, and there are quite a lot of Nazis in France. But these people who attend these conferences, no policemen round them up, I suppose, implicated. That doesn't mean they were ever charged with a crime. Just implicated. Murders, bombings, bank robberies, arms trafficking, dope running, and other crimes. Some appear at these conferences in their SS uniforms. And this was happening down in South America with Klaus Barbie and Stefano Della Calle and members of a drug enforcement agency attending meetings with men wearing the costumes, not costumes, the real suits of the Waffen-SS. Now, the article goes on, terrorism since the 1980 Bologna bombing train station that killed 81, some of these people were involved in that kind of terrorism. And I've cited their names before, and I'll go back to the names later in the Bologna bombing. Only 81 were killed there. Then there was a bomb at the Munich Oktoberfest. That was where 13 were killed, and some of those members attend these conferences that are part of the bombings. The most virulent neo-Nazi groups are very small, and they appear fragmented. That's like Larry Schmidt writing to Volkmar Schmidt in Germany, who then comes home to work for Edwin Walker in Dallas, and to Bernard Weissman and the people in Munich, Germany, that worked with our Defense Department over in Germany and army bases. They said, just give us a handful of men, you know, 7 or 8, and we could control the world. If we could kill a handful of men, we could control the world. So this Paul Montgomery writes that these are small groups, and that the largest group of all of them, of the various groups meeting there, is called the Paramilitary Sporting Group, the SPG, and that's what I'll get on to next week to continue the links of this group to Dallas, Texas, to General Walker and Robert Morris and William Buckley, and our cult of death in the United States, that is the Odessa, along with them, and those are pretty strong words to use. The most virulent of the Nazi groups is small. It seems small, but the largest of those groups is called the SPG, the Paramilitary Sporting Group. The head of it is Karl Heinz Hoffmann, KarlHeinz Hoffmann, which has 400 adherents, broken up by West German police in 1980. Hoffmann was linked to the Oktoberfest, and he's in jail, and I'll give the charges for that next week, and I've mentioned it before. He was linked to the Bologna bombing and to Klaus Barbie and to our CIA and the Defense Intelligence Agency. Hoffman's group as such, he was removed because he was linked to the killings, but the SPG, the Sporting Group Paramilitary, or Sporting Paramilitary Group, the way the words are reversed in Europe and South America. The membership of 20 or less among most of the Nazi organizations is common. But then the point is that they have computers that connect them so that they're not isolated. They have all these different names. If you would like, I'd spend 1 week on the air just reading the titles of right-wing organizations that were formed by 1979, and they have to have tripled or quadrupled by now. Now, Paul Montgomery continues in this article on the neo-Nazis. He says the most extreme right-wing, probably the most extreme, is in Belgium, where 2 years ago a former paratrooper was arrested in Brussels. No relationship. Brussels, Belgium, you don't hear that too much, as being involved in a Nazi system or headquarters, but Brussels, Belgium, is one of those places. And this person who was arrested, this paratrooper, had shot his brother. He was angry, and he shot his brother in a rage. And they went to his room, and they found a cache of arms in the room of the assassin and a stack of top-secret North Atlantic Treaty Organization documents from NATO. And he said that he was part of a group called the Westland New Post, previously unknown. All this came about because he had shot his brother, and they went there. Now, Westland New Post was founded, according to this article, to defend the cultural and genetic patrimony of the white race, the genetic patrimony of the white race, against North Africans, Turks, Slavs, South Americans, and leftists. Genetic purity of getting rid of leftists of any color. The trial led to Paul Latinus, Latinus, a 38-year-old nuclear engineer who was a member of various political jobs. He held political groups in the Belgian government. He was a member of the government. He was arrested in 1978 for illegal arms possession. But when he was arrested, you see, this one man shot his brother. They went into the home of the man who shot him, found the NATO papers. The NATO papers led to the genocidal plans and genetic experimentation to get rid of anything but the pure, led to Paul Latinus, a man working for the Belgian government. He was a member of the far-right youth group, and he was infiltrating the environmentalist groups, the environmentalists, and he attended paramilitary training camps in South Africa, what was Rhodesia. And Westland New Post was founded in 1980 as an information-gathering organization with a secret police section modeled after the Gestapo and called the Bureau for Zionist Affairs. We'll take a one-minute break. I'll go back to Paul Latinus and NATO. Alexander Haig was head of NATO during this time period. And then we'll go on to some other interconnecting links of the Odessa that this original article was just mentioning it, but I keep updating it all of the time.